Welcome back, friends, to Through the Word. Melanie Hurlbut here with Psalm 142. We're in the middle of the last cluster of eight Davidic Psalms that close Book 5. Psalm 142, the fifth in that sequence, is a maskil, a psalm written to teach Israel and us to pray like David prayed when he was in the cave. David is desperate. His only companions are isolation, fear, weakness, betrayal. He's a hunted man. The Lord alone is David's friend and champion. This psalm is for everyone who's ever felt abandoned, friendless, and left to face great difficulty alone. When we're trapped in this kind of intense emotional pressure, this psalm is an invitation to join David in prayer. Before we jump in, let's take a moment to check out this psalm's backstory. It's from the beginning of David's wilderness time. 1 Samuel 20-22 tells the story of David fleeing Saul to escape his murderous rage. David tries to find safety by hiding among the Philistines, only to be exposed as a threat by Achish's government officials. By feigning insanity, David narrowly escaped the Philistines. He found temporary shelter in the cave of Adullam, in the mountains about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Just weeks before, David had been a popular national hero. Now, suddenly, he tops Israel's most wanted list. Recast by Saul as an enemy of the state, Israel's military is redeployed to hunt David. So let's join David as his prayer reverberates off these cave walls. Verse 1. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. This is no silent prayer. David says, I cry aloud. David's making noise as alone in this cave he lifts up his voice to the Lord. What is the content of his prayer? It's his complaint, his trouble that he pours out before the Lord. I imagine David pacing around the cave praying something like this. Yahweh, you took me from being a shepherd. You anointed me to be king over Israel. I wasn't seeking the throne. This is your plan, not mine. Now, because you are with me, Saul jealously seeks my life. This is too big for me, God. Where can I hide when all Israel and even the Philistines seek my life? But even as David prays, the immensity of his peril begins to sink in. Have you ever felt that way? You're putting into words all that you're facing, and instead of your prayers bringing relief, your anxiety increases, and you feel small and faint. This is precisely David's experience. But instead of giving in to this fear, watch what David does next. Verse 3. When my spirit grows faint within me, it's you who watch over my way. What is David doing? He's lifting his eyes above his troubles, and he's fixing them on Yahweh, the God who sees David and watches over his way. The Lord didn't call David to abandon him here in the wilderness. No, the Lord who called him will walk with David through this time of trouble. Let's take a look as this brings an important shift in David's prayer. Back to verse 3. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see. There's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Did you notice the change? It's subtle. David is still pouring out his complaint, but now he's not alone. The Lord is alongside David. Together, they're looking around at the difficulties he's facing. And that makes all the difference. Look and see, he tells the Lord. There's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. With the Lord at his side, David has courage to stand and face his fears. He names them one by one. The reality is stark. David is alone in the cave without human help. And while the cave has given him a temporary reprieve, David knows it won't be a place of safety for long. Again, David redirects his eyes from his troubles to meet the Lord's gaze in verse 5. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. This is really quite incredible. David places his life in the Lord's hands. The cave can't save him, but Yahweh can. David is friendless, without any provision, but, like the Levites, scattered throughout Israel to teach all the other tribes God's ways, David proclaims the Lord as his portion, his inheritance in the land of the living. Salvation for David isn't about the afterlife. It's about rescue, here and now, so that he can live and worship the Lord. Verse 6. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Finally, here is the crux of David's prayer. Three action verbs. Listen, rescue me, set me free. Those who pursue David are too strong for him. Surrounded by enemies, the cave of Adullam quickly becomes a prison. David needs God to give him his own personal exodus, to set him free so that he can praise the Lord's name. And what will happen as a result of the Lord's rescue? David says, then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Do you see what's happening here? David is reliving Israel's founding story. When the Lord delivers David from Saul, like he did Israel from Pharaoh's tyranny, then the righteous will see the Lord's goodness and gather about him. These others will join God's grand story of rescue and redemption to find their home in the Lord. And this gives us a clue why this wilderness psalm of David is placed here as one of these final 8 Davidic psalms that close book 5. Coming right before the grand Hallel, the 5 psalms that conclude the entire Psalter. This psalm presents the returned exiles with both a question and a promise. First, the question, implied because they know their history, that God answered David's prayer from this cave. Will they be counted among the righteous who gather around David and his promised Davidic son? Like David, they've experienced an exodus from Babylon. Like David, they've seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. Will they imitate David's life and his faith? Will they live not just for themselves, but for the sake of the nations, so that those who long for righteousness can gather themselves around their Messiah? And second, the promise. They know that God did rescue David, not just once from the cave of Adullam, but again and again, until finally he was enthroned, not just in Judah, but over all Israel. What God has done before through David, the Lord has promised through his prophets that he will do again. But where David and the Davidic kings failed, the Messiah will succeed. Messiah will be the blessed man from Psalm 1 who walks blamelessly in the Lord's way. Messiah will be enthroned as God's son from Psalm 2 who shatters the rule of Adam. Messiah will be the one who extends God's blessing through Israel to all the nations of the world. Doesn't it make you love him? We see what they longed for, the faithfulness of God displayed in Jesus enthroned on the cross. And in his resurrection and ascension, we see Jesus reigning, not just as Messiah of the Jews, but as Lord of the whole world. There are still plenty of struggles against evil within and the wicked without. Tyrants and tyrannical nations still try to throw off the Lord's rule, but Jesus called us to be disciples who disciple the nations. We know how God's story ends. So, no matter our betrayal, our isolation, our weakness, and our fear, let's fix our eyes on Jesus and pray with David when life caves in.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.